10?
And then 8 in which point. I haven't even.
Rest of the session. What, 6 weeks?
Ask me what it's like.
House State Affairs Committee will come to order. It's 3:15 PM. Sorry that we're late getting started, but another committee was meeting in here. Present for today's meeting, Vice Chair, Representative Navarre, Representative Miller, Representative Jenkins, Representative Collins, Representative Cato, Representative Boucher, and Chair, Representative Hurley. The committee has conducted extensive hearings, 6 in all, which have been teleconferenced around the state during the past 2 weeks to become familiar with all the issues involved and to understand how each plan would affect all our citizens, young and old. Today we are here to receive public input on the various options proposed. Should the state establish a retirement program which uses permanent fund dividends to fund individual accounts? Should the use of dividend checks be mandatory to ensure participation in the annuity program? Or should the state continue payments to current recipients and gradually phase the program out by increasing age eligibility requirements? Before proceeding, I should like to briefly refresh the committee and the public as to the provisions in each of the bills before us. House Bill 210 and House Bill 222. House Bill 210 phases out the existing longevity bonus program, replacing it with a state retirement program funded by the permanent fund dividends of participants. Current participants will continue to receive their $250 month increase 3% a year without reduction in their permanent fund dividend payments for the annuity program. For those who turn 65 after January 1, 1986, the bonus is $250 plus a 3% increase minus the maximum possible annuity for persons 65 years and older under the annuity program. The annuity amounts would increase and the longevity bonus payments decrease each year, with the transition period ending by the year 2003. Thus, under House Bill 210, a state retirement program would be created for those under 65 by 1986 who chose to invest their permanent fund dividends in it. And House Bill 222 requires that the permanent fund contributions be mandatory to ensure participation. Otherwise, they're very similar. House Bill 239, the stair-stepping proposal, makes one change to the current program. It increases the age of eligibility by 1 year each year beginning in fiscal year 92. The effect of this change is to eventually phase out the program because no one younger than 65 in July of 1991 would be eligible for a bonus. In other words, anyone who turns 60 by July of 1986 will be eligible for a monthly bonus for life when they become 65. I also think it's good to refresh our minds as to what the original purpose of the longevity bonus was. From the law, the sole purpose of this chapter is to offer and provide all law-abiding Alaskans capable of managing their own affairs who have maintained a domicile in the state for at least 25 years and have reached a retirement age of 65 an incentive to continue uninterrupted residency in the state. Under no circumstances shall this chapter be considered a form, type, or manner of public relief. Bonuses made under this chapter are not predicated on need, even though they may appear to provide supplemental income to some qualified persons who would otherwise be forced to become responsibilities of the state. The legislature further finds and states that this legislation recognizes the economic hardships suffered by many elderly Alaskans, Alaskans who through tenacity and perseverance molded Alaska as we know it through skillful application of their talents. These pioneers are the same Alaskans who in the prime of their life were in effect treated as second-class citizens by the federal government, who paid much of their hard-earned income to a government in which they did not have the right to participate through the power of the ballot. The legislature also is aware of the fact that many of these pioneers have been forced to live out their retirement years in areas far away from the land they loved and nurtured, and thereby also suffering in many cases the loss of familial relationship with their own kin an experience that is sad and frustrating to them, as well as depriving new generations of Alaskans the benefit of their wisdom and experience. This legislation hopefully will provide our pioneers with the economic means to remain in and continue to serve their state and to enjoy the opportunity of aiding the new Alaskan in making this state truly the great land. Unfortunately, the courts, because someone challenged it, have overturned that, and we are now in the position of trying to figure out what is the best that we can do in the legislature to continue this program. Today we have people all over the state waiting to testify, and I would like the committee to not take up our precious time from the public by asking questions, but let us hear from the people around the state during this set time. At this time, we have people in Petersburg, Fairbanks, Anchorage, Sitka, Soldotna, Bethel, and Kodiak who are ready to testify. And I would like to keep the testimony at 3 minutes, if possible, but from each of you out there. But we will, and if you will stay around and we get through everybody, maybe there'll be time for others. At this time, I'd like to go to Petersburg because I note that we have a former legislator who is also a pioneer awaiting to testify, Ernie Haugen.
Hello, and thank you. I appreciate all the effort that's being put into this bill. I'll make my comments rather short. I realized in the beginning that there was a lot of support for the annuity program, and I'll only speak as to what my personal opinion is and the person that's sitting alongside of me here. I've changed my opinion when I take a look at all of the problems facing the future legislators to finance things, and I'm inclined, in fact, I'm going to strongly support House Bill 239, the stair-stepping program. Sooner or later, we have to face the reality that state revenues are going to decline, and there's going to be more demand on the state's general fund for operation and capital budget. And I think we ought to get back to the original intent. That was the intent of that, was to reward those pioneers that were residents under the requirements that were in the original bill. And I guess you got to face the lawyers in the courthouse maybe on some of those decisions. But the statements I make are generally becoming more acceptable all the time. I'm just chatting around with people on the street and in the coffee shop and in the store and other places. I think if we can put a program together like that, and that will go, be the most acceptable when everything is understood. I realize there's going to be a confrontation between the two houses, probably, but if the guys keep their cool and see if we can't make something fly along the original plan and sidestep the lawyers and the legal profession in general, I think we can defend our position on some state right issues, which I believe strongly in, but I won't burden the committee with my feelings on that. I'll probably be in Juneau on other matters along with this at the appropriate time. And thank you for making this effort to get statewide coverage on this. I realize you've got a lot of people on the program, and I apologize, I've got to run too. I've got to get back to work. I'll be glad to contribute in any way I can. I am president of the Petersburg Pioneers for this year, so the statements I've made here today, I'm going to relate them on our meeting Thursday night. And I think, in general, that is the attitude that's starting to prevail in this particular area. Thank you very much, and congratulations to the committee, and I appreciate all the problems you have with not even our revenue base to base our budget on, but in general, I think you folks are doing a good job up there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ernie. And as a former chair of a finance committee, I know that you are quite aware of the problems everyone's having. Could we hear from, since there's only one other person there, let's hear from Wilmer Oinas at this time. I'm sorry, my mic was off. Thank you, Ernie. Thanks very much. And I appreciate the fact that you mentioned the financial difficulties, because I know your long years of service on the House Finance Committee. Could we hear from Wilmer Oinas at this time so we won't have to come back to Petersburg?
This is the moderator. Mr. Oinas is not wish to testify at this time.
No, but he doesn't want to testify. Let's go to Fairbanks, where we have three people. If we could take one person from Fairbanks at this time.
Okay, fine. Thank you. I'm Ronald Thomas from Fairbanks. I'm a lifelong Alaskan, a member of the Pioneers of Alaska Igloo Number 4. I'm here to testify on my own behalf, but I'm kind of marching to the same drum that has been expressed on the Igloo 4. I've attended teleconferences 1, 2, and 3, and this is number 4. And from what I've heard, I'd like to say that I'm in favor of a program that's not based on need and on a voluntary participation basis. This puts me in support of House Bill 210. I do not like House Bill 222 because of the $25,000 stipulation, the requirement of internal revenue tax returns, and leaving an area wide open there for the commissioner to regulate and write up regulations that puts them in an area that I don't particularly care for. I also do not like House Bill 239 because it makes available a program to people that come to Alaska and live here 1 year and excludes anyone that happened to be born after June 30th, 1924. And I've made some, I'd like to make a few comments on some of the comments that I've heard from some of the committee members. And it seems to me that they've predetermined and what they've decided that they'd like to do. I've heard them say, perhaps not all on the committee meetings that I've attended here, but I did hear one say that they figured that this was going to have to go to a conference committee. And then I heard another one say that they, it wasn't going to go anywhere and they'd have to have another one off of the floor extending the current longevity bill. And in all fairness to all of us that attend these meetings, it seems to me that we're getting into an area where I'm in an exercise of futility. And thank you very much for hearing me out.
Thank you very much, Mr. Thomas. Before we go around this,
Madam Chair, I just want to be clear because I'm keeping track of them. Was that an indication that favors stair stepping?
No, 210. Said Representative Sund is present, and knowing that you're very busy, I'd like to have you come and testify right now. Representative Sund is from Ketchikan.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have some stuff here I'd like to pass out to the committee. I've sent out a letter to all the people in my district, and I'll just pass it around. There's a letter, and there's also a copy of a letter I received back from former Representative Oral Freeman, which I'd like to share with you. I think it's fairly representative of the stack of letters. These are the answers I got back. There are approximately 980 people receiving the longevity bonus that live in District 1. That's Wrangell, Petersburg, and Ketchikan. Out of the 980 letters I sent back, I have gotten over 200 handwritten responses, and that's in excess of 20%. And I think that's a fantastic response and shows a great deal of concern on behalf of the people. The letter that went out basically asked two or three questions, how people felt about various issues, either the stair-stepping, the annuity plan, voluntary or mandatory, or the needs basis. I can report back, and I would qualify my comments that you have to remember that this letter only went to people receiving the longevity bonus, and nobody else got the letter. And it's only now that we're getting a few letters from people who do not receive that bonus. So I think the group of people, you have to understand where the responses came from. But I'd just like to report to the committee that if any of you need any good speech writers, I have a large collection of excellent letters here. And they're just really down-to-earth people. And the one thing that came across, it is a good program. I think it needs to be continued, and I'll support that. The basic analysis of the responses, there were less than 5% of the people that advocated any type of needs basis. That was the worst case. Nobody wants it, and I don't think we should have it. The second area, the stair-stepping, which is probably the closest to the original intent of the original legislation, had the most response. 48% of the people, or over 97% of the respondents, favored the stair-stepping approach. And there was another 22% or 44 people that were in favor of an annuity approach, although most of them wanted a voluntary annuity and not a mandatory. And there was another 20%, 25% of the people that wanted a continuation of the program. Either annuity or stair-stepping would be fine with them. So I think that's kind of an overall blend of what it is. And I just want an opportunity to share with the committee and the people. That's kind of the response I've gotten out of that. Now, I would caution that you have to remember who the letter went to, and that was people presently receiving it. And I think with the annuity program or any other approach, I think it's really necessary to talk to people who are not receiving it and who are in the maybe close to receiving it, or there's others like us hoping we will live that long to get there. So with that, I don't want to take any more time up on the teleconference, but just to share that with the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Sun. We will be meeting tomorrow. Maybe we'll come back and give us some more advice or get some,
appreciate
we can
it.
Ask you some questions. Thanks for coming. I'd like to go to Soldotna. Marion Davis.
This is Marion Davis. The Alaskan Longevity Bonus Program is like a civil war. It's brother against brother, friend against friend, senior against senior, and the senior center divided. But please don't mess with the permanent fund. This makes Alaska number one with the best future in the United States. Protect it for future generations. Private insurance companies can take care of the annuity program. Their stepping is discriminatory. Best to phase out the longevity bonus. Each year decreased by 3%. Everyone 65 or older gets 3% less. No discrimination. That's $7.50. $150 becomes next year $242.50. Next year, $235, and so forth, until down to $50, that original amount. These citizens will know what they will receive in case they're still around. Now then, if Alaska still wants to award her old citizen, say happy 65th birthday, here's $50 a month. Continue to enjoy living in Alaska. No other state can afford it. Yes, it's welfare. Dictionary says welfare is good health, happiness, and prosperity. And it's income. This 72-year-old senior citizen thanks Alaska and appreciates the many benefits. But without the longevity bonus, senior citizens will still be glad we live in a beautiful Alaska. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Davis. Let's go to Sitka. John Dapsovich.
Yes, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak before the committee. I'm speaking for a lot of people that are my age group. Been up here over 57 years, and I was raised here during the Depression and lived here during these hard times that we had in the territory. And these people are telling me that they're being eliminated from the program at the expense of some of the people who have been here a year or two. So the stair-stepping thing seems to be discriminatory towards many of the old-time Alaskans. The annuity approach, I think that's good. It would have to be mandatory to make it work. you're not going to get the young people in it until they get older and see their retirement in sight. It might be a difficult program to administer, but I think if it's set up right, it would work. But the stair-stepping would either have to be looked at again to take care of these many people in Alaska that were here during the hard times. I think they should be given more consideration than people who've been here a very short time that would benefit from the stair-stepping plan.
Thank you, Mr. Dapsovich. Let's go to Anchorage and Robert Kallenberg.
I'm Robert Kallenberg. I think that we should take a close look at the cost of the bonus. And when I say cost, I mean the amount of dollars that the legislature will have to appropriate in order to fund the bonus. Now, I would refer you to the committee report, page 32, chart 2. ALB costs through fiscal year 2034 without escalation in millions of dollars. Senate Bill 5-6 cost, Senate Bill 5-6 would cost $864 million. House Bill 239 would cost $1.04 billion. On page 41 of the committee report, chart 5, cost incurred after the year 1999, that is after in the 21st century, in millions, again, nominal dollars, no escalation. Senate Bill 5-6 would cost $128,400,000. House Bill 239 would cost $291 million. These figures are from the Strategic Planning Office of Management and Budget, and they are not prejudiced figures. I think we should give close consideration to the cost now, and particularly past the year 2000. I would favor either 5-6 or 222. I rather prefer the free choice rather than the mandatory participation.
Is that all, Mr. Kallenberg?
That's all. If there are any questions, I'll be around a long while.
Mr. Kallenberg served on the special committee on the longevity bonus, so he's very familiar with all of this report that he refers to, and perhaps the committee will come back to you. Thank you very much. Next, I'd like to go to Kodiak and Daniel Reed.
Yes, this is Daniel Reed, and thank you, Madam Chairman, and you've done a great job in the committee room, and I am for the annuity program to be mandatory so the young can look forward to their own old age retirement. And as for my own, the bonus provides for me and wife existed, which we are grateful. If I may include the beginning of all legislative bodies and cross-sections throughout our great and wonderful nation do by laying hands on the Holy Bible professing in God we trust. Likewise, also our money minted and printed also sticks in God we trust. So if we may, let us pray. By the great and superpowers of all mighty God, I crucially state how 40 years ago it appeared to me that individuals and political greed was and did process me into prison, separating me from family and friends. The evil powers persisted and victimizing continued as I continuously seeked anarchy and from the criminal excuse was always interjected from time to time that the rules of the Constitution must be acknowledged. And when 7 years out of prison I applied for a restoration of civil rights, the U.S. appointed governor turned me down. In 1980, a native corporation was intending to give me a public commendation, and I was forced to turn down by the rules of the Constitution I could not legally accept. And after writing a is in turning it down. They and my wife and myself seek to pass by legislative action a resolution to U.S. President and State of Alaska Governor. The Alaska Governor granted me a pardon, but I still needed to secure my gun rights, which took an added 2 more years to secure. So I don't know if greedy temptation is due to prevail among political groups, and due to my experience, I am able to detect those and define by listening to the committee members in their chambers those who could greedily be tempted by the devil or ward and give every disguise to their true and harmful intentions in governing our wonderful state affairs. Also, likewise, we detect those who are not so easily swayed. Almighty God, is that also a cover-up? I speak during these things do prevail and pray by Jesus' name the next election the great and powerful God will give proper power of mind to those to vote very carefully and eliminate the good evil who are directing our lives by the so-called rules of our Constitution and who truthfully said it was a just and crucial to regulate our laws. We ask your favor in our prayer, Almighty God, amen.
Thank you very much, Mr. Reed. I'd like to go now to the Wasilla Senior Center, where I have that 5 people are there to testify. I'd like to have one person testify from there. Please give us your name. We'll come back to you, but I don't want to spend all the time there. So if one person would come up to the mic right now.
Yeah, hello, I'm Larry Larson. I talked to a lot of people about this longevity, and they all think that stair-stepping one is the best. The young people don't like the annuity program because they figure they won't get their permanent funds. Good luck.
Thank you very much for keeping it short, Leonard. I'd like now to go to the Anchorage Pioneers Home, where there are 8 people ready to testify. I'd like to hear from someone at the Anchorage Pioneers Home. Would you please give your name?
Sorry. Hey, this is Virginia Blanchard. We feel here that we should have the bonus and
Virginia, you're faded out.
Is that better?
Yes.
We feel here that this bonus is necessary and it should be continued. And we don't like the stair-stepping program. We don't like the other programs. We want the bonus program to continue and for everybody.
Well, Virginia, right now, the bonus program, as it was, cannot be continued. It has to be changed in some way. Which of the 3 bills do you have any preference for?
She means she wants the present system.
The present system for everyone, is that correct?
56.
That means neither of the bills.
Yeah.
That means that you don't believe in any of the 3 suggested bills, right?
We like that best.
Which one?
56.
Okay. Thank you. We'll get back to the others there after we go around the state. At Whittier, we have 5 people to testify. Could we hear from someone at Whittier?
Hold on, please. Amos Austin Simons. I came from Alaska initially in 1931. The people in Whittier, I think, are in favor of a continuance of a senior citizens program similar to the one currently in existence. Unfortunately, we did not get the copies of the bill that were supposed to have been mailed from Anchorage last week. that a form of a vested interest in Alaska be included as eligibility. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Nanilchik?
This is Barbara Banta in Nanilchik. And I want to thank the committee very much for the listen-only opportunity on the longevity bonus and the permanent fund dividend program as being considered with the pending legislation. We appreciate being able to get the background on these things. They become so much clearer as they're talked about rather than just reading them. My husband and I had favored the annuity program as outlined in Senate Bill 56, and then as we heard more of House Bill 210 and 222, they sounded good. But after hearing the explanation of House Bill 239, stair-stepping, we think the next of the provisions is that. We like the annuity program, feeling that it was a way of phasing out the program and making it self-supporting in time. By contributing the annual permanent fund dividend, it would limit the number of recipients to long-time Alaskans and those here now, and not open-ended for freeloaders coming up. If the annuity is too expensive for the state because of the front-end loading, then the stair-stepping would be acceptable, providing the entry date for the program is kept as it's now written. I was born in 1925 and arrived in Alaska as a 21-year-old bride in 1946. My husband had been stationed on Kodiak during the war. It appears my husband will be eligible for the longevity bonus, and if the proposed date, as now in House Bill 239, is kept, I'll make it also, and we look forward to making it easier to stay in Alaska. But money is important, and we want enough left so that you can fund the other senior programs that are now in existence, like the Meals on Wheels, the Senior Citizen Centers that are doing so much good, and the many other programs that the legislature is making possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your statement. I'd like to go to Seward, where we have two past presidents of the Grand Igloo, Herman Lehr and Richard Beisner. Which one of you wants to go first?
Richard Beisner.
All right, go ahead, Mr. Beisner.
Thank you, Representative Hurley, for the opportunity to testify to you and your committee on the proposed longevity bonus bills. I am Richard Beisner, Chairman of the Legislative Committee, Pioneers of Alaska. The Pioneers of Alaska wish to go on record as endorsing House Bill 210, which is a companion bill to Senate Bill 56, both of which will eventually be self-supporting, and provide for legislation that is wholly in agreement with what the Pioneers of Alaska feel is in the best interest of the state of Alaska and its pioneers and senior citizens. We feel the legislature is vitally concerned with passage of legislation during this session and are certainly capable of such action. We are equally opposed to Senate to House Bill 239, the stair-stepping bill, and also opposed to any other longevity bonus program based on need. I would also like to make one comment on a statement I heard, which was made a few days ago by a legislator whose constituents live in the so-called bush. This statement was to the effect that the younger residents would shortly be able to support themselves and therefore would not need any form of longevity bonus program. Accordingly, a stair-stepping version would be acceptable. I disagree with this line of thought. I cannot see where the local economy of small communities and bush villages especially is going to improve in the next few years to the point where this could possibly happen. Another concern we have is that a person who today is approximately 59 years of age has, for all practical purposes, reached the end of his or her earning cycle, but would never qualify for the longevity bonus program under House Bill 239. These people, having done their share to settle this great land, should be entitled to live their remaining years somewhat eased by the benefits of a program such as House Bill 210. Without a longevity bonus program, such as this bill, many residents will be forced to accept welfare, and this cannot be allowed to happen. Thank you, Madam Chairman, for this opportunity to express convictions by the pioneers of Alaska.
Thank you. Is that the position of the Legislative Committee?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. I'd like to go to Palmer, to the Pioneers' home in Palmer. I don't know how many wish to testify there, but I'd like to hear from someone there.
Representative Burley, we have a speaker at this time, Al Lee Smith.
To express our deep appreciation and many thanks to the committee and all the dedicated Alaskans that have worked so diligently on the senior citizens' behalf for the longevity. It is needed. And in all fairness, and to tell the truth, I'm not exactly sure just what bill, but in studying them, we endorse at the present time House Bill 210. We must consider, and it will take into consideration, the old-timers. We do not want to be on a need basis. Again, thank you for all your good work.
You faded out. Was she finished?
Finished.
Thank you, Eloise. Someone was talking to me and I didn't realize that you were through. Is there anyone else there? So I need to come back to the Pioneers' home for testimony. I know you all can listen. Well, I'll get back there after we've gone around the state.
Thank you.
Homer Robert Gray.
Chair, committee members, my name is Robert Emmert Gray. I live in Homer. I first came to Alaska in 1949 and have lived in Alaska since making a permanent move here in 1958. I would request that you all refresh your memories regarding the concept under which the longevity bonus program was established in the first place. When placed before the voters, it received overwhelming approval by the electorate. Its identity, by whatever name and purpose you may wish to apply, be it longevity bonus, old-timers bonus, annuity investment, interest-bearing annuity, or some other semantic adaptation you may care to identify the program by, it nevertheless still remains a program overwhelmingly approved by the electorate for the specific purpose for which it was designed. The initial longevity bonus program was a literal godsend to the program recipient. The bonus increases applied during the intervening years have been and still are an undisguised blessing to those recipients as well. Each of the present bills from Bill 56 through House Bill 210 and 222 represents a virtual deliverance to the vast majority of elder Alaskans. In testimony before this committee last Friday, Representative Adams eloquently restated the importance of the income provided by means of this program to elder Alaskans who were unable to provide a financial basis for their own retirement. In testimony or commentary, Madam Chair brought before the teleconference last Friday a poignant letter from a member of her constituency expressing what appears to be a classic set of values, which to me are truly representative of the vast majority of old timers. She suggested that those values were expressed again and again by many, many more of the constituent letters she has received. One comment by Madam Chair of particular significance and significant import to most, if not all, longevity bonus recipients and those Alaskans ripening their eligibility for participation as bonus recipients was that a needs test was repugnant and disgraceful. Therefore, I shall close my statement with the following assessment and wish for the future. My assessment first. The longevity bonus program has restored the pride in and given dignity to those elder Alaskans fortunate enough to participate in the program who have otherwise been unable to provide a retirement income for themselves. The magnitude of this accomplishment extends the same implication and significance to those elders now approaching eligibility for participation in the program. This longevity program, by whatever title it may carry, can effectively be implemented by any of those three bills, Senate Bill 56, House Bill 210, House Bill 222. Of those bills presently before the committee, the variety of options contained in these bills provide the basis by which a consensus may be arrived at. Resolution of the differing views held by the members of this committee and the legislature as a whole can be achieved. This committee's action should not be construed or equated as requiring or providing for final action on and or resolution of every lingering interest in this matter for all time to come. Your favorable and satisfactory disposition of this matter now is of immediate importance in maintaining the pride, dignity, and economic viability of Elder Alaska. My wish for the future follows. Madam Chair, members of the committee, please preserve the means by which our elders will continue to stand tall, at least in mind and spirit, if not in body. We leave the mechanics of accomplishing this task in your hands to exercise. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Gray, I lost my place on the list. I'd like to go to Bethel, where Edward Hoffman is waiting to testify.
Greetings in the Kuskokwim and Yukon Delta. I have listened to quite a few people talking, like the guy from Holmer, and he did a good speech, you know. I don't see why it takes 11 people on the Finance Committee to tell us what to do with the longevity bonus. Therefore, you know, the longevity bonus should be up to the people to decide. Put it up to a vote, you know. And in this fall election, if the people need it and they vote for it, and if they don't vote for it, it's all right. But let the people decide, not the 12-man board and the Finance Committee. That they want to rule Alaska, which I am opposed of. And I want to see this young generation down in the Senate and legislature telling us old folks, elders, what the hell to do. Just a minute, I'm not finished yet. I got a few more questions here. And, you know, what about these old people here that cannot draw Social Security and an old age benefits, you know? Therefore, they should be entitled to get longevity bonus for them, the man, or if he has a wife, to support themselves. And I don't want to see them guys telling us what to do about this, you know. I'm in pretty bad shape here. I listened to another guy just a few minutes ago talking about it, the elders. You know what's going on with the longevity bonus? The people who come from the States, they come up to Alaska, which they're not supposed to, and register, stay in Alaska 1 year, and they think they've got the rights of the people that have been here for 50, 60 years, which I don't like either, you know, and I'm deadly opposed to that. And these both bills you got here, I'm opposed to them, you know, you said you're 65, you're 65, the next year you're going to be 67. That's no way to run the law. And the committee's business, you know, leave it stay at 65 years of age, you know, this way the people that's going to be 60, turn 65, they wouldn't have a benefit of that money till they're 66 years old, which I am greatly opposed of that too. Therefore, you probably should put it up to the people for a vote. I don't care, I'm not listening to the 11 people on the Finance Committee telling us Alaskans that have been born in Alaska. I've been here born in Alaska since 1917. And I don't want nobody down on Juneau, you know, telling us what the hell to do with the bonus bill. And that's all I got to say. And I hope these young generation that's on the Finance Committee think about this, you know. Maybe they won't get to see to use that bonus money at all, you know. And I thank you very much for this, and that's all I have to say.
Mr. Hoffman, I want to assure you that the majority of this committee, in fact, probably all of this committee, feels that it should have been the way that you would like, and that is that no one coming up to Alaska after living here a year could have the bonus. But unfortunately, the courts have stated otherwise, and the reason that we are meeting and the Finance Committee is meeting and everyone in the legislature is concerned is to try to find a way that we can still continue the bonus and also go with the law that the courts have sent down. Thank you for coming out today.
I have one more question on that, then I'll go. You know, the court system in Alaska is not very good, you know. The judges, they've been here, they try to rule us. These old-timers been here ever since they were born, you know. And then the judge come up with a decision and tell us what the hell to do. That is not right. Them judges have lots to learn, you know, of Alaska, you know, just because they've been on the seat for 10 years, they know it all.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hoffman. I'd like to go back to Fairbanks to Rudy Vetter.
Rudy Vetter here, 34 years in Fairbanks, and after Robert Gray and Mr. Hoffman, I find it rather difficult to express myself. It has been difficult for me to decide between HB 329 and 210. To be fair to those born in Alaska and long-term residents, I favor House Bill 210. Second choice would be 329. I do believe that this problem, however, will be addressed by nearly every legislature in the near future due to fiscal problems and a deep interest in this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The number is 239. Someone's got those numbers mixed up. It's two. That's okay. I just wanted to be sure that you knew that it was 239. Thanks a lot. Could we have Nancy Mendenhall? Is there anyone else in Fairbanks except Nancy Mendenhall waiting to testify?
This is Paula, the moderator, and I have Nancy, and then I also have Jane Windsor, and that is all we have here.
Okay. Well, let's take Nancy Mendenhall right now.
May I ask a question?
We don't have time for questions right now. We will, if you want to wait until later, until we've had an opportunity for everyone to testify. I'm not sure that we're going to get to questions.
That's fine. I'll just testify then. The Legislative Committee of Auxiliary Number 8, Pioneers of Alaska, has discussed bills, House Bill 210, 222, and 239. We're opposed to House Bill 239 and 222 for some of the same reasons that Merrill Thomas, Debut Number 4, gave. We feel that the State Special Committee on the Alaska Longevity Bonus Program has written a truly outstanding bill, and by that we mean Senate Bill 56. It phases out the existing longevity program, and by replacing it with an annuity program, allows all long-term Alaskans to provide for their later years and to benefit from some of Alaska's natural resources. We feel that this committee did a very good job in writing Senate Bill 56, and we wholeheartedly support House Bill 210, which is the identical bill to Senate Bill 56. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nancy Mendenhall.
A lot of work put on.
I'd like to go to Seward to Herman Leiser?
Lear.
Lear. Herman Lear, I'm sorry.
Herman Lear is approaching the mic.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Herman Lear, past president, president of the Pioneers of Alaska, been resident of the city of Seward for 61 years next week. Hope to be here another 30 or so. Your committee must remember that the annuity plan under House Bill 222 or 210 should only be referred to as a self-financed pension plan, because the year input money under the compulsory plan would be substantial. Under the voluntary voluntary plan, it would probably be less. If, for example, under the compulsory plan, this year's present fund dividend would be $400 per person paid out to 400,000 residents, applicants in Alaska, the total payout would be $160 million. Half of this amount into an annuity pension plan would be $80 million. If this was continued for, let's say, up to 20 years at that rate, if the total pay-in under the compulsory plan would be $1,600,000,000 into the annuity pension fund. Members of the committee, that is one pile of money. Interest at 8% on the investment for the first year on $80 million would be $6,400,000. It could increase every year after, depending on the holdover on the extra funds that are kept in the fund, in the annuity fund. Under the stair-stepping plan, the total phase-out would cost possibly in the billions or more. It's hard to tell. It depends on where you all hit the model orchard. And all the state would have to show for it would be a van load of canceled checks. What is going to happen to the people that don't have an IRA or a KEO plan, as Representative Boucher mentioned the other day, are not invested in a pension plan through their employment when they must retire? Live on Social Security only? God forbid. The U.S. government handles the Social Security in the future as they have in the past. A very meager pension for the people who live on. You must remember that only about 35 to 40% of the people have a pension plan, whether it be their own annuity or TO or an invested job that they'll fall under. That the other 60 to 65% of the people are going to be out. What are they going to do? Start? No, they're going to tap the state of Alaska on the shoulder and inform them that they must have help, and the state will have to appropriate many millions of dollars out of the general fund, one way or the other, every year for all attorneys. There will be less money for other state projects, be it capital or otherwise. The legislature must remember that many people are going to live in the bush in the future, more and more every year, on a home site, whether it be in the southeast, western, northern Alaska, or eastern Alaska. Their yearly income is going to be spent on living off the country, as we always say. If you have jobs, a little fishing, a little trapping, just enough to get by on, no pension plan, no IRA, no TO plan, only Social Security if they haven't paid in some, and any money that the state general fund will come up with when they hit retirement age. I hope the committee will study the annuity to its fullest. Remember that the Alaskan taxpayers will rebel if they are loaded with any more taxes in the future to take care of a lean general fund bank account that won't cover state expenditures. I believe that you probably have the figures in front of you from Bill Ray's office on his voluntary plan. And I personally can say that I believe that it will come up, when it comes up to the legislature, it will be a combination of either 210, 56, and 222. And thank you for being able to testify. If there's any more questions, I hope that you direct them to me. My box number is 524 Seward, Alaska, 99664.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lehrer, and please stay around. There may be time for questions before after we get finished. How about Joe Graham at Anchorage?
program. I can agree with the first speaker up in Fairbanks who is opposed to the latter two bills. With regard to the annuity bill, I think you better watch out. Those people are going to be federally taxed on that annuity payment, and they're never going to see it until much later years, and I'm sure that's going to create great repercussions. I can understand Mr. Hoffman's emotions. The blood pressure of most people at this point is terrifically high. The thing that you people are wrestling with down there, the longevity bonus, I think is the wrong thing to be wrestling with. I think it's a disastrous misnomer. It's a semantic amorphidite. I think you should direct your thoughts to residency retainage, which was the whole purpose of the original bill. And by getting away from that, you've lost the will to fight for it and the tools needed to retain it. And that isn't just a one-way street. Sure, those people get something for retaining their residency here. But the whole community, the state and everything, and the business community, and the jobs, benefits from their return from the labor market, and also being consumers. So if you would think in terms of residency retainage, and do it for just only U.S. citizens, I think you might get back on track. And please stay away from the permanent fund and its dividends. If you would go over about 110,000 federal programs, you will find out that they all have various restrictions to them. The president, he has to be 35. The senator, he has to be 35. Look at all the various requirements for fish licenses. The Coast Guard issues license for mates and engineers. Each advance in grade not only test competency, but there's a number of years involved every time. Look at military raising rank. Again, we have the number of years involved again. The federal government recognizes mandatory retirement at 65 in the commercial sector. If they can recognize all these things, they could certainly have recognized it in this program if it had been pursued vigorously. The reason it failed was it wasn't written for the right purpose and it wasn't vigorously defended. I think you people are trying to skirt the legalities so badly that you're 100 miles from the point of the problem.
Thank you, Mr. Graham. Is there anyone else left there so I need to come back to Anchorage?
This is the moderator. Anchorage,
thank you. I'd like to go back to the Wasilla Senior Center.
Court. Rule 239 will not take care of Lisa Askins.
I have the name of that witness? We didn't get the name.
Hello, Elizabeth Schaefer.
Could we have another witness from Wasilla Senior Center?
Mary, that is now pushing the microphone.
Do you have anyone else left at the Wasilla Senior Center?
Yes, we do. Will Hanson now like to testify?
Yes, let's finish that, because I had five and we've had three. Thank you, Walt. Is that all of the seniors at the Wasilla Senior Center? Thank you very much. I'd like to go back to the Anchorage Pioneers home. Anchorage Pioneers home. Mm-hmm. we'd like to hear from them. Anchorage Pioneers Home.
About half the number that we started out with. We started out with, I think, 16, 17, coming rapidly to the dinner hour, so they're all getting a little antsy.
Well, I had that you had 8. I'm sorry. Is there someone there that wishes to testify at this time?
This is Bill, the moderator in Juneau. You are coming through very broken up at this point. Can I speak with the moderator there?
Thank you, Mrs. McCutcheon. She's almost 100. Right.
Here is mother.
Look, tell me.
At the same time, that's the, all the residents that want to testify at this time, but we will be listening to you.
Could we have the names of the people who were there? If maybe Virginia Blanchard or someone could get them, at least we would have their, the fact that they were present.
So the people that were here this afternoon was Virginia Blanchard, Martha Parker, Alice Mockler, Elizabeth Ricci, Georgia Lamb, Dorothy Bruner, Charles Scott, Elsie E. Wheeler, Mary M. Harvey, Opal M. Everett, Clara McCutcheon, Cecil Higgins, May Reynolds, Magdalene Uzel, Esther Pinion, Lou Osmond, Alice Kozlowski, Ken Weaver, and Clara McCutcheon.
Did they all wish to testify, or were they just there to listen?
I think the ones that were going to testify have left, but the ones that are now here and have been here are just going to listen.
Thank you very much. We'll go to the Palmer Pioneers Home. Are there still some folks there that wish to testify?
Representative Hurley, this is the Palmer Senior Center.
Palmer Senior Center, do you have anyone there?
We have 3 people to speak.
Go right ahead.
This is Harriet McCray. I've lived in Palmer since 1947. Mr. Robert Gray expressed my feelings far better than I could. I heartily endorse Mr. Gray's testimony, but I'd also like to thank all those who have worked so hard in behalf of us old-timers. Thank you.
Thank you, Harriet. Is there anyone else there?
My name is Floyd Davis. I, too, have lived in this area for since 1947. I do not believe that the stair-stepping program would pass the legal requirements. I'm just a poor country boy, but that's the way I feel about it. And the longevity program, I thought, was made partially to retain the people in Alaska who were going outside to retire. And the longevity program in itself cannot be lived on, but it will hold several hundred dollars each month in the state if it is made so that it cannot be used outside of the state. And it will, in that way, put a lot more money into the economy, and in that way it will help pay for itself. Thank you.
Thank you, Floyd. Is there anyone else there at the Palmer Senior Center?
Yes,
We have one more speaker.
Okay, my name is Frank Morton. I've been in Alaska for better than 32 years. Now, I haven't had access to enough material to actually speak rightfully on the subject at all. And, however, what I have seen on the three bills, that 222 seem to me to be the best. But, it seemed to fit what I figured was the best. But I feel about it is what the conditions are and what and the legal steps that you have to contend with. Legislators, I feel that let them do the best they can, and that's better than the ordinary person on the side. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Morton. It's good to hear from you.
Nice to hear.
Is that everyone at the Palmer Senior Center?
That's all the testimony from Palmer at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to Dillingham. They've been off the line, but they're back on.
This is the moderator at Dillingham. I have an observer who does not plan to testify at this time.
Thank you very much. We have one more person in Fairbanks to testify, Jane Windsor.
She's coming to the mic.
Yes, Representative Harding, hello. I'm speaking for the American Association of Retired Persons State Legislative Committee. In our meeting in June last week, we endorsed and will be notifying the legislators that we endorsed an annuity plan, but we didn't specify whether it would be the SB 56 variety or the HB 222. So I'm going to pass observation personally, and I hope I'm not in contradiction to our committee, and that is that it would seem that HB 222 holds more promise of being fiscally sound. And I do think, though, that there needs to be clarification via the media on two points on that. One is that if the mandatory 50% of the permanent fund is deducted, I would assume it would only be deducted from the person's age 18 on up. And the second thing is there are rumors are flying pretty rapidly that people need an assurance that an annuity program would be carefully protected. And there are lots of rumors about New York Insurance taking on this contract and their fears of the state losing control, and I think there needs to be some statement that exactly how the annuity would be managed and secured. I do think that the tax shelter phase should be pursued very much because I understand right now you're in a conflict. If the state can, through judgment and figures and its investment for the low income of the hold harmless part so that they will continue with their Medicaid and other privileges, I would think certainly that we could justify that the state is investing at least 50% of the cost, and that would make it a valid tax shelter. And certainly if the half mandatory were tax sheltered, it would certainly encourage people to contribute the other half, the active workers, if there were a tax shelter factor involved. This is my conclusion. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. We have some people waiting at Whittier. Thank you. Well, that, according to my records, that is everyone who had signed up at the different sites, and I'm going to have the moderator check to be sure that we haven't left anyone off. Togiak.
This is Togiak.
Go ahead. Do you have someone there?
I just have two observers.
Two observers. And then could we pull all the sites to see if there's anyone waiting? I don't have the sheet. So you, the moderator will poll all around the state to see if there's anyone waiting to testify. And we'd like to hear from you.
My name is Mr. Knutson. I work with the Bristol Bay Native Association in Gillingham. I would go with the annuity program, but not under the what would be mandatory. Two, there's so much legal aspects on this longevity that affects the Medicaid and Medicare that those elders that receive the extra $250 a month will be disqualified from those programs even if they accept or do not accept it. I don't know. When the longevity program was first enacted, I believe it was for those people that were here for 25 years to stay with them longer. If we could get back in that line or that way of thought, I think it would be a big conclusion.
Is that it from Dillingham?
Yes, that's all from Dillingham. Thank you.
Thank you. I hope all of you will stay online. We still have a person to testify here in Juneau and some other and comments from the committee. Wally Kubley, representing the Pioneers of Alaska.
Yep.
Turn it on.
Madam Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Wally Kubley and I represent the Pioneers of Alaska. I'd like to thank you all personally for the extensive time you've put into these programs and the different bills. It's this is the sixth hearing and going on for about 12 hours, and it's a complicated program, an annuity program, and I think the way you've explained it, I think the people out in all the different towns understand a lot better. The Pioneers of Alaska have endorsed the Special Committee's recommended legislation on the Alaska Longevity Bonus Program. All the Igloos have. I hate to disagree with my good friend Ernie Hagen. He is the president of the, as he said, of the Petersburg Igloo, but he was speaking personally. I don't want to get him mad at me because I think myself and a lot of legislators are going to lose some good smoked fish and herring that he sends up to myself and all of you, or a lot of you. This program would allow all Alaskans to invest all or part of their yearly permanent fund dividend into an annuity retirement account. Or as Herman Lear said, it's a pension program. This annuity program replaced the present program, which will expire this coming June 30th. These pioneers who have helped build this state will continue to receive their $250 a month bonus and will also receive their permanent fund dividend. Pioneer Alaskans, as you've heard, do not want a need-based program or any program considered to be a welfare program. This is a very important program and should not be phased out. According to the committee's report, 66% of the Northwest Alaskan elderly people reported this program as their main source of income, which shows they draw little or no Social Security. We feel this is a good program for the young as they can have a retirement or pension plan. This program would be paid out of their yearly dividend payments and not from a yearly salaried budget. We realize that something has to be done to help this program if it is to continue. Paying everyone who is 65, $250 per month now costs approximately $50 million per year. In 1995, it'll be $77 million and over $107 million 10 years from that date. We all know that the oil fields will not pump millions into the Treasury forever, and some future legislature will have to repeal the longevity bonus program. With the annuity program, this program is projected to be self-sustaining by the year 2003, and our elderly will be receiving $413 per month. As I understand the figures, and I think Bob Kallenberg has mentioned, this program, the annuity program, is actually cheaper than the phase-out of the stair-stepping program. The one thing the pioneers, and I know elderly people like to have, is this program to be settled this year. We would not like to go into another year. As many of these people, as you well know, they just are worried every time they pick up a paper and read something about the longevity program that they are going to lose it. I think the resolution that the Representative Hurley and some of the members put out, assuring them they would not, was a great help. But there's still an awful lot of worry the way that this program has been debated, and it looks like there'll be more of it, that it would be a great solution to a lot of people relieving their mind. I want to thank you for the time that you've given me and the time you have spent on this. Thank you.
Since we do have some time, could I ask you whether this was presented to each igloo individually, or did the legislative committee take the action?
According to Mr. Beisner, who you heard and is chairman of the Pioneers Legislative Committee, yes, it was.
The reason I ask that is that I've had letters from many of my constituents who I know are pioneers, and they were supporting another. They said, get rid of it or do something else, but not annuity.
I do not know the vote on all the igloos or all the ladies' chapters, but I have no idea what the vote was, but that was my understanding. I don't imagine it was 100%. It was probably a majority.
Well, at the time that I'm just curious as to when the vote was, because the 222 and 239, I think they were really reacting to 56, because that was the only thing that was before them at that time. Isn't that
the way
correct?
I understand it, Senate Bill 56 was the one they voted on, and I think they have not been exposed to the other bills except through your statewide broadcast.
And I understand that there have been considerable amendments to 56 that change a lot the cost, and a lot of those things have been happening in the last couple of, just in the last week.
I think the major change, Madam Chair, is that now, if you die before 65, your heirs will receive the money where it wasn't before, and then there was a couple of technical amendments that it would take legal staff to tell you what they are. I'm not that familiar with their technical changes.
One of the things that really disappoints me is that we have not been able to get people to come and testify who are going to be affected by this. The young people are not coming out to... I don't think they understand what this is going to do, that they're going to be affected, and we haven't gotten our message out.
I think one thing that Representative Boucher pointed out, I think it was at the last meeting, that annuity program, that a lot of people don't understand it, and when they get into, you get the experts explaining it, I think a lot of them are more confused. It's actually a, as Mr. Lear said, it's a pension plan, really. And
it's a retirement plan.
It's a retirement pension plan, right. Yes.
I didn't mean to hog the mic. Does anyone else have a question of Mr. Kubley, as long, or anyone out there? There are some other people out still listening, so we do have time. So Representative Boucher?
Madam Chair,